and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where the Senate has given final approval to a debt ceiling deal. CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
A marathon series of votes deep into the night in the U.S. Senate ends this high drama, high stakes standoff in Congress. The negotiated plan between the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will now go to President Biden's desk for his signature, with little time to spare before the Monday deadline for a default on America's debt.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Default was the giant sword hanging over America's head. But because of the good work of President Biden, as well as Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate, we are not defaulting.
President Biden, in a statement, called the passage a big win for our economy and the American people. He's expected to sign the bill into law on Friday. In Davenport, Iowa, an apartment building that partially collapsed on Sunday could fully come down anytime, with three people still missing. CBS's Roxana Saberi.
Outside the devastated building, Brandon Colvin Jr. has been waiting for days for news of his missing father.
I've been trying my hardest not to think about it so I don't break down and cry. I've been trying to, like, push it to the back of my head.
The hurricane season just got underway, and the National Hurricane Center predicts 12 to 17 named storms this year and potentially 5 to 9 hurricanes. Here's meteorologist David Parkinson.
It only takes one. So you can have a below average season, you can have an average season. But if you have one major hurricane that rapidly intensifies near the U.S. coast, you can get a blockbuster one. So again, focus on the individual storm, not necessarily the totality of the season.
Beginning in September, the test grad students have to pass in order to get into many grad schools will take about half the time it now takes. Rohit Sharma with the Educational Testing Service.
We wanted to reduce the burden on the test taker, i.e. the student. And two, we wanted to make sure that we are doing that without compromising the integrity of the test.
A 14-year-old from Florida has won the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Samophiles. P-S-A. M-M-O-P-H-I-L-E, Samophile?
That is correct.
Deb Shaw correctly spelled the word samophile. That's a plant or animal that thrives in sandy areas. He didn't even make it out of his regional bee last year, but this year Deb takes home the trophy and more than 50 grand in cash and prizes. Charlotte Walsh, a 14-year-old from Arlington, Virginia, was the runner-up. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, Jay, can you finish that induction range installation tomorrow?
Orders have really amped up at Nate's Electric.
We need to finish installing it first in Maine. Did we hear back from the grocery chain?
It's no shock he needs electricians, like electric. Yesterday.
Smart fridge. Everybody wants one of those these days.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, June 2nd. In Wood County, the Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Safety Conference Room 105. They will hear from the Criminal Justice Coordinator, a report from the Citizens Groundwater Group, and discuss the Price County resolution, among other agenda items. They will also tour the Branch 4 courtroom. In Portage County, the Solid Waste Management Board will meet at 9 a.m. at the Annex in Conference Room 5. They will discuss and take possible action to approve the amendment to the intergovernmental agreement. Tomorrow is the last day of school for students in the Wisconsin Rapids School District, and it's a half day. Rams will dismiss at noon, Lincoln High School at 12:20, and elementary schools get out at 1. Stevens Point students are in school until June 6th because of a makeup snow day. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 62. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 89. Lows level off around 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Some whoop 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 boing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello. Welcome to our second to last No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour, because on Monday, we're going to 2 hours, 10 to 12, instead of 11 to 2, which means, Paul Noonan, your time's changing when you're coming on this show. Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Totally fine with that. Not a problem at all.
Not a problem at all. Well, we love that kind of flexibility. Paul Noonan is back for a sports update this week. He covers the Packers for Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company, and also hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast on the Brewers. Except this week, last time you were here, we talked about how you don't really cover basketball, but we're still going to talk about Adrian Griffin, the new Milwaukee Bucks coach. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think we kind of have to. So I think he's a pretty good choice, given all the candidates that were out there. And I think the big thing that you're looking for moving on from Mike Budenholzer is that Budenholzer is, by all accounts, like a really good clubhouse guy, like really got everybody to play hard. But the NBA has changed so much that the regular season is much more of an afterthought. Like, stars get rested. People don't try that hard. And it really is about making the playoffs, where you need a tactician. And Bud just wasn't the tactician you need for that. We don't know for sure that Griffin is, but he played under Nick Nurse. He's actually got some Bucks familiarity. He actually, the last team he officially played for was the Bucks.
He played for the Bucks. He wasn't on the coaching staff.
He was on the coaching staff. So it's funny.
Okay.
He was a throw-in to a trade involving Mo Williams, who was the Bucks, one of their best players at the time, a big six-person trade that totally turned the Bucks on their heads. But he never played a minute for them. He's the kind of guy you throw in to make salaries balance out in the NBA, where it's very tricky to do trades because you have to do that. And so he retired or was finished immediately, but he immediately joined their coaching staff under Scott Stiles for 2 years. And then he moved around through the rest of the league, moving up the kind of the chain, ended up with Nick Nurse in Toronto, where in 2019, they beat the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals in Giannis's really big first push for what I think could have been a championship under different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they really shut him down. So there's some familiarity here, both with having him been a Buck before, and with him sort of coming up with the way to stop Giannis the first time that it really happened. His signature is more of an aggressive defense. Budenholzer plays kind of a defense where you play the percentages, you drop back when guys have bad shots, you don't challenge a lot. And the Bucks got eaten up on pick and roll plays in the playoffs this year, kind of because of that. Griffin's defense is much more aggressive, and especially on those pick and roll plays where the Bucks do get kind of destroyed. The tricky part for him is going to be that the Bucks are an older team, not as quick a team. Like, Brooke Lopez is still an important person on the team. Chris Middleton's getting old. And he's used to having more younger, more athletic sort of slashers to play that defense. It'll be interesting to see if he can adapt it. I think that'll be the biggest challenge. And offensively, they just need to find something else, because the Giannis ball, it works, you know, most of the time. But if you throw up a wall in front of him and make him just crash into people, he gets hurt, he gets beat up, and you need something else. You need better three-point shooting. And so they need another look there, because what they were running wasn't working.
Or he gets charges, right? Because it's like, like, that's the whole thing of just watching these guys on the defense. Like, all you have to do is, like, be in place for a split second, throw yourself in front of someone who's charging, and then you get the call. It's like, this is how people are getting hurt. How is
they really need to change that rule? There's a movement. There's a movement to change that rule. The really big dangerous thing that happens is a help defender charge. Like, if the guy that is guarding Giannis, like, who's directly in front of him, can establish position and Giannis runs into him, that should probably be a foul. Where it's dangerous is when a guy who's not guarding Giannis runs over at the last second, steps right in front of him, and sets his feet where Giannis couldn't have avoided him.
Like,
he's already there's a movement to outlaw that by especially analysts and commentators in the NBA. It's gotten a lot of stars hurt. The playoffs actually were lousy with stars getting hurt, and there's no reason for it. It's not the intent of the rule. And they should take that out, and hopefully they will. That would open up a lot of things for him, and, you know, make him more formidable than he already is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, any initial thoughts on, now that the Heat is in the finals, on how we fare, that maybe this was just their year?
I think you have to conclude that.
Yeah.
Like, the Heat have made an incredible run, and I think they are sort of the paragon of the regular season not mattering. They're a weird team in that, their best player is Jimmy Butler, Marquette's own. And Jimmy Butler is just, frankly, kind of a weird guy. But when he puts his mind to it, he is one of the best players in the league. And
what do you mean that he's a weird guy?
His personality is a little quirky and a little grating by all accounts. He's not a guy you would hire just for clubhouse chemistry. But you know, when you get to the playoffs, when the stakes go up and Jimmy Butler concentrates and turns into an actual, you know, good team player and tries hard every night, he makes his team one of the best teams in the league. And that's what happened here. They're well put together aside from him. And people say they got hot, but a lot of it, I think, is just they're not a good regular season team because they're a little bit of a poor chemistry mix. But when you have to crank it up, he's one of the best you can have.
Because it really feels like he refuses when he was playing against us, and even in these other series, like, he just refuses to lose.
Yeah, he does, and he's got a little Jordan in him. Like, he takes everything personally. So it was a bad first round matchup to get. Nobody thought he'd almost lost too. They were almost out before the playoffs even started.
I know,
just by like inches. Once you get him in there and they get motivation, they're brutal. So the Bucks loss looked horrible at first. It clearly doesn't anymore. They ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw, and that happens sometimes.
All right. Well, moving over to the Brewers. Are we still number one, even with how many injuries we have?
Hanging on by a hair at the
moment. Okay.
Yeah. Although they're currently losing to the Blue Jays, so we'll see how the day ends. But they went in up by one game, but it just in a world of hurt. The Brewers are among the most beat-up teams in baseball. And they're in the bottom quarter of the league in runs scored, in offense, in actually starting pitching. The only thing they're really elite at is defense, and it's kept them afloat. But they need to find a way to score more runs, because this is not going well. And they're still in the middle of a tough part of the schedule. Like, they had Houston and Tampa Bay last week or 2 weeks ago, and they're kind of in their American League East portion of the schedule right now, which is by far the best division in baseball. Has the Rays, but also the Yankees. They're playing the Blue Jays right now, and they play the Orioles shortly. All of those teams are excellent. All of those teams would win other divisions going away. And so they need to get through this, but they do need to get some help back. They probably will soon, but it is ugly baseball right now. So they are going to get Willy Adames back soon, who, in true Brewer fashion, was sitting on the edge of the dugout and just took a liner directly in the head, had to go into the concussion protocol, and just a freak accident. The Brewers seem to have more of those than most
teams. Others.
Yeah.
Just a curse.
They should also, they kind of are. Like, I can rattle off just a zillion sneeze injuries, Matt Wise salad tongs, Jonathan Lucro having luggage dropped on his foot. It happens all the time.
Was it 2 years ago or was it last year with the pitcher who punched the wall when he was drunk?
Devin Williams,
yes,
punching the wall the day before the playoffs started.
What are you doing?